FireTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yeah, this is Broken Not Hottie. This is Christopher Daniels. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are too.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm going to break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can laugh, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin'.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It's really that simple. You can also follow the channel there. Or if you just want to hang out and chat, that's fine too. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I am your host, Lindsay Ward, joining you with appropriately moisturized hands. Yes, guys, I got up. If you were not here for the side boob, you don't get the reference. But if you were, I dug through my purse. I found my moisturizer, so I'm very happy. And I found a truffle in my purse, too, so that was kind of awesome. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
How long has the truffle been in your purse?
Like a week. My purse stays in the house. It doesn't really leave the house. So it's like in a climate-controlled space. It's not like it melted. It's a fucking Kate Spade purse. I'm not gonna let chocolate melt in that bitch.
But you left it in there for like a week.
But it didn't melt because it wasn't in the sun.
But you left it in there for a week.
It was wrapped. You're acting like I had a chocolate truffle rolling around in the bottom of my purse with, like, no protection on it. You think I would let that happen? You think I would do that to a truffle? What kind of monster do you take me for?
Tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Lynn's Word.
Also, I'm almost out of my favorite moisturizer, so I have to order more. I'm very upset about this.
Aw, you can go to Amazon.com and order some more. Aw.
No, I can't get it on Amazon, actually. I have to go to another place and get it.
Aww. But hey, if you have Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming and support the channel by clicking the purple rectangle button below the screen. We would appreciate it.
Although I did find a really nice foot moisturizer, and it's not that expensive, which is nice. We could do beauty reviews. Skincare reviews. I can just hear him, like, grinding, going, oh god, no, please no, not the beauty reviews. Don't make me do those.
Rubbing my forehead.
Content chat. It's content.
Rubbing my forehead.
Anyway, we have a lot to get into tonight. We have news, notes, NXT, and yes, we are going to be talking about Elimination Chamber. The wait is over. I finally get to talk about this show. I'm so not excited, but excited. So that'll be in the back half of the show, but we're going to jump right into the news brought to my friends over at MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. And we have several big stories that we need to talk about.
Some could say they're gigantic.
Some could, and that's where we're going to start. We are going to start with the gigantic story of the week, and that is that AEW, yes, folks, AEW made their first major snag from WWE in the sense that they nabbed up The Big Show. They signed him as an active wrestler and commentator. This happened after The Big Show, and WWE could not come to terms on a new contract, so he said, all right, I'm out. Tony Khan offered him what he wanted, and he went over to AEW. There have been a lot of mixed reactions on this, I would say.
Mixed is a good way, but it seems people were unaware that his contract was up. It was like a few days ago, apparently people found out his profile went to the alumni section, which they do on a normal basis, and it was like, no one thought anything, especially it came out like an hour before, and like, it wasn't a big deal, and then like, oh, I get this email going, hey, Big Show, Paul White, is now part of AEW, and here we are. He has signed a long-term deal with the company. He is going to be an active wrestler, and he will also be a commentator on our other AEW news story. Brand new AEW YouTube series, AEW Dark Elevation, which will be coming middle of March, Mondays at 7 p.m.
Very interesting placement there.
It's competition. They're going to restart the Monday Night Wars with squash matches. Before Raw start.
On YouTube.
On YouTube.
Anyway, which that's good news for them if they're getting another YouTube series. I have to confess, at least on them getting another YouTube series, and I believe they're getting another TV show as well, that thing I think is in the works. I feel like there's so much wrestling now. There's too much wrestling. I can't keep up with all of it.
There's a lot of content on the air.
I mean, there's a lot between Impact and New Japan and ROH and WWE and AEW. It's like, no, there's only so many hours in the week, and I work full time, so balance? Can we have some balance here where we're not having, like, wrestling on constantly? I mean, the good stuff is for, like, the on-demand content, you can go watch it whenever you want. So that is definitely a plus, and if you don't want to keep up with it, you don't have to, and that goes true for the TV shows, but it feels like there's almost an oversaturation of content on everybody's part for wrestling right now.
If you have an interest other than professional wrestling, you can't have one and stay up to date. We have other interests. We can't watch everything. There's like 78 plus hours of original TV content, sans live event, pay-per-views, whatever you want to call them, on a given month. A lot of content.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's a ton of content. So, well, actually, but congratulations to them. But circling back to The Big Show, I don't know how I feel about it. I'm going to be completely honest. I mean, I'm happy for him if it's what he wants. That's first and foremost. If he's thrilled and this is what he wants to do, then hey, go get it and enjoy yourself. I also think it's if he's there to help, if he's there to lift their roster up, which I'm sure he certainly will, that's another bonus for them. That's a plus. If he's there to be a main eventer and he's there to be pushed as a main eventer, I don't know how I feel about that, because he's now the third ex-WWE/WCW, not counting the Four Horsemen, signee that AEW has made in the last 12 months, obviously with Jericho, Sting, and now The Big Show. And yes, every locker room needs veterans, and every locker room needs hired guns and everything else, but I just don't know how I feel about this, because it feels like it just doesn't feel right. Something about this just doesn't feel right to me. It's not sitting right. And I know it's just me, but it's like, I thought their whole mission statement was that they're going to push younger talent, and part of that is having established names to get people over. But they just brought in Sting. Like, just brought him in the last, what, 3 months?
Yeah, he's been building to a match for 3 months.
And now they're bringing in The Big Show?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know how I feel about this. It's like, do you... I guess my question is do they really need him? I understand why they snapped him up. It's because it's like he came available and it's like, hey, he's a name that we can bring in. But it almost feels like it's a little bit of a ratings ploy in some regards, because it's like, hey, look what we have. And I understand that their show was pre-taped this week, but you couldn't like slide something in there.
No, all they did was slide the announcement in and that, you know, he'll be on the show next week live.
But I mean, ultimately, my opinion means nothing because he's happy. This is what he wants. I've heard a lot of rumors surrounding this from he's like in debt up to his ass, which I don't tend to believe, to he was pissed off about Randy Orton and what Randy Orton said on Raw, which again, it's like that was all scripted. I very much doubt that was it. But one thing does kind of hold to be true was he wasn't necessarily thrilled with his position in the company. He obviously wasn't thrilled with what WWE offered him in terms of a new contract, and he left. So I mean, best wishes to him. Best luck to him, especially as he moves forward with AEW. We'll see what they do with him.
It'll be interesting to see what he does.
It's very interesting. Also, moving on to big signings, EC3 has finally settled. He has moved into ROH, so he's officially signed with them. So congratulations there.
Yeah, I'm surprised he chose them, but at the same time, he's been there, done with Impact. He got his closure, and I don't think, from an in-ring standpoint, he could hang with the people in AEW. I think as a character, he could play as well better in Ring of Honor.
Especially with what he's doing right now.
I think all his injuries that happened in the last few years limit him in some way. And, you know, him going full hard, try hard in AEW probably wouldn't be the best thing for him. So him settling in Ring of Honor, it's a smart move, is the best way to put it. It's a smart move.
It is a smart move. And also making some smart moves, WWE has signed a bunch of new people to the PC. It's the largest class yet. And so we're going to run through the names really quickly. So Bronson Rick Steiner, a.k.a. Rick Steiner's son, got signed. Excuse me. Kira Megan Foster, a.k.a. Taya Valkyrie, she got signed. Sean Ricker,
a.k.a. L.A. Knight, a.k.a. Eli Drake. Dummy. Yeah.
Angela Arnold, who is trained by Booker T. Congratulations to her. Parker Boudreaux, a.k.a. Brock Lesnar Jr.
He's a big MF-er.
He's not actually Brock Lesnar's son, but he looks like Brock. He's 6'4", 300 pounds, covered in tattoos, and blonde. With that same, like, square jaw action going on.
He's a big MF-er.
He's thick. Anthony Henry, Chance Barrow, a.k.a. Harlem Bravado, Teresa Serrano,
a.k.a. Zoe Stark, we've been seeing in NXT,
Brigham, a.k.a. Christian Casanova, Priscilla Kelly, which is a very interesting signing because she kind of was there and then she got into a little bit of trouble and then she was gone and now she's back. So we'll see how she does here. Drew Casper, who is the Dup brother of Jacob Casper. He was signed back in October 2020. So now we have brothers there. We've seen how that worked out in the past. Let's hope it works out better. Anyway, Brianna Coda, a.k.a. Cora Jade. She was in the Women's Dusty Tag Team Classic. Christian Hubble, a.k.a. Blake Christian. So many people. Matrick Belton. Cameron Clay, who goes under the name Cameron Brené. And she's been in the rings with, like, Shotzi, so go her.
That's cool.
Joe Areola.
Okay. College standout.
Taylor Grotto, a.k.a. Avery Taylor. She's been in Evolve and Shine. And finally, Carissa Rivera.
Lots of women, lots of young, talented individuals that hopefully they can groom into the next WWE superstar.
And we're seeing some people going ahead and hitting TV, and then we're seeing other people that are obviously going to be trained and put through the rigors and that kind of thing. But I think they're really just trying to do that roster refresh that they like to do once a year and bring new people in, because obviously they have turnover and they have people cycle in and out of the PC, and there's a lot that probably goes on behind the scenes that we obviously don't know about. So they're just looking to do a little bit of a refresh, especially as they're gearing back up post COVID. So good for them.
And as they're expanding TV product, there's rumors of another NXT TV show coming, so
we could see it, because I mean essentially NXT is now the third brand, so would we actually get Evolve as a developmental brand? We'd have to see.
That seems to be what they're looking for.
WWE also announced a new partnership with, or not a new, but an existing partnership. They announced the premiere date for the shows with A&E. We're getting WWE's Most Wanted Treasures. It's going to debut on April 18th at 10 p.m. Eastern. They're also bringing back Biography, but we're doing the WWE Legends, which will be 8 original 2-hour docs. There's no date on that as of yet.
Same day. So it starts Sunday, April 18th. Just for the record. So it starts at 8 on the 18th. You get the 2-hour documentaries and then the WWE Most Wanted Treasures. So Sunday nights on A&E this April.
Who knew?
There's going to be 8 of them. 8 of them.
I'm excited for the Most Wanted Treasures just because they're going to go through the warehouse and we're actually going to get to see the warehouse, I think. So I'm looking forward to that. I don't know who they're, if they're going to have talent with them.
I don't know if that... Don't remember they're going to have talent with them, but the A&E special, like the people on the biographies, it's like Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Roddy Piper, to name a few. It's like Booker T, I think, is one of them as well. It's like...
Taker.
There's a... They're not... Taker's not one of them, because they just did...
No, I want to go through his whole Twisted life. Like, the last ride was very, very good, but I want the whole, like, Twisted sort of details.
Well, yeah. We'll probably eventually get that. So it's Austin, Piper... Savage, Booker T, Shawn Michaels, Ultimate Warrior, Mick Foley are the biographies. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Are they doing new biographies? Because I feel like they did a biography.
These are all back. These are all brand new documentaries.
Because didn't they do one of Mick like back in the day?
They've done a bunch back in the day, but these are all brand new ones. The put it together. You got, for the Steve Austin one, it's the director and producer of The Last Dance, which was the Michael Jordan thing on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
He's behind that. A lot of people who are behind a lot of the ESPN 30 for 30s are doing some of these. So they're going to be really detailed. They're going to have a different feel to them.
Do Taker.
If these do well, you probably can get Taker in another season of it.
I actually do Kane. Poor Glenn, he gets like no love.
Kane does deserve one. All right, so WWE Most Wanted Treasures takes viewers on a journey to find some of the WWE's most iconic and lost memorabilia. In each of the 9 episodes, WWE's Stephanie McMahon and Triple H lead a team of collectors, WWE superstars, and legends as they investigate, negotiate, bid, and travel across the country to hunt down and reclaim some of WWE's most elusive WWE collectibles. Throughout history, WWE's action-packed storylines have spawned iconic, one-of-a-kind memorabilia, most of which has gone missing. Superstars in training, AJ Francis, will head out on the road alongside one of the most famous WWE legends of all time, including The Undertaker.
Oh, God.
Ric Flair, Charlotte Flair, Mick Foley, Kane, Big Show, Mark Henry, Jerry the King Lawler, Booker T, Greg the Hammer Valentine, Brutus the Barber, B Cave, Jake the Snake Roberts, and Sergeant Slaughter. The series will unearth these rare items in hopes of preserving and sharing the legacy behind the memorable moments in WWE history.
God, what are they sending Taker and Kane out for?
I don't know.
Oh, God.
Bikes? Maybe bikes for Taker?
That, or maybe it might be some of the Paul Bearer stuff, because I think a lot of his stuff got, like, sold after he passed away. Like, maybe. I remember seeing that, like, his surviving son sold a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
Because they got the one urn.
Mm-hmm.
They got, like, the original urn that I think had the light in it, or they got the like original urn, but I don't think they got anything else. Although they may have, because they had his like travel book or whatever for the Paul Bearer documentary. So I'm not sure what all they have and what all they don't have, but it might be a Paul Bearer thing. That would be really cool. They go hunt down something for Paul Bearer, but still, that will be interesting. I kind of hope it's like Taker and Kane on a road trip with a random person in the backseat.
That would be something.
It would be something. So look forward to that. Also looking forward to The Miz and Mrs. They're returning Monday, April 12th. This is, you know, following Miz's epicness and awesomeness on Sunday night, which we're going to talk about later in the show. Titles.
He's the WWE champion.
He is the WWE champion. The must-see WWE champion. Very excited about that. Their show is returning Monday, April 12th, following Monday Night Raw. So that's going to make things awkward for us with the Rack Extra, because we do a little thing. Call a Raw post-show around here, 11 p.m. Eastern on Monday night. So hopefully we get like previews or something, or it's going to be weird. Ding.
We'll work it out.
We'll figure it out. And last but certainly not least, before we do the Blame Brents, NXT is to air live in Canada on Sportsnet 360. So that's awesome.
So it's been on delay since the move a year and a half ago. So they've been working towards this moment. So now they're going live in Canada.
Ooh, fancy.
So that's cool for them. So there's now the ratings were in Canada.
Oh, awkward.
Can we talk about them now? Are we making predictions for them now? Please,
no.
I hope not.
No, I don't think we are. But with that.
I hope not.
Let's do the Blame Brents.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulders snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
Yeah, complete with new injury graphic on the screen now.
We're fancy around it right here. So first off, Anna Jay, she has a shoulder injury. She will be out 6 to 12 months.
#BlameBrent.
she's a member of the Dark Order, and yeah, that she had to be pulled from the AEW Eliminator Tournament. That sucks for her. She's been on the come up, on the rise in the AEW Women's Division, so this is a major setback for her.
So hopefully she recovers and everything's A-okay there. And then we have Hiromu Takahashi with a torn pec. He's out 6 months.
Hashtag blame Brent.
That apparently screwed up a lot of their plans.
Awkward. Very awkward. But hopefully he's on the mend and will be back in 6 months. Or at least maybe they can use him like on TV, even if he's got like, you know, he's healing or something. But I don't think so. I doubt it.
I don't think so.
You know, they could have him like show up and wave or throw things at people.
Wave to who?
The camera. You wave at the camera. You wave to the folks at home. Now
it's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
I just had to move on. That was just too ridiculous.
He cut me off, Chad. That's so rude. God.
God. God.
Why are you like this?
Why are you like this?
Because I was made this way.
Were you born this way?
Probably.
Can't play that song, but it would be fitting.
No, we'll get DMCA'd.
NXT open with The Way. Johnny Gargano taking on Dexter Lumis. I'm just going to let you talk.
So Austin's still recovering from his ordeal. He's a little confused, but he's working on it. He went to do the little high five with Johnny and he did the wrong side. So, you know, they had to do the other side. They were giving Austin the pep talk backstage. He was having some trouble with it, but it's fine. Dexter comes out. And The Way basically tries to have their way with Dexter. Like, they try to all four mess with him in different fashions. Like, Candice LeRae is, you know, obviously trying to help Johnny win. Johnny's trying to beat up Dexter. Indy, like, straight up takes a shot and flirts with Dexter and tells her to call him. Or caller, which is just like, what?
Coming.
She's like, she did the hand motion and everything. She's like, call me maybe.
Can't play that either.
Poor Austin's like, just very confused. At one point in the match, they toss Austin a chair to interfere to hit Dexter with. And he's like, and Dexter gets up and looks at Austin. And he's like, and Austin's just like, hi, buddy. Hi. I don't know how I got this, but I have it. You know, I'm not going to hit you with it. And meantime, Candice is like yelling at Austin. She's like, hit him with a damn chair. So all of this leads to Dexter Lumis choking out Johnny Gargano. And we see Johnny Gargano get a little aftercare from Dexter where, you know, he gets that loving pat on the head and Dexter cuddles him and The Way have to recover Johnny as Dexter is victorious.
That was something.
I don't even know what to do with that, honestly. I'm gonna be completely real. Like, what do you even... Just, like, what? Like, the Austin stuff was good, but the best part was, like, afterwards, The Way is leaving, mm-hmm. and Johnny and Candice are ranting, and then Austin Theory is like, well, I don't understand why we had to you know, resort to violence. He's my friend.
He's misunderstood.
He's misunderstood, and Candice is like, Indy! You know, they're like, he should be in jail. You know, back me up, Indy. And Indy's like, actually, he's kind of hot. I really kind of want to... She didn't say this, but basically it's implied she wants to bang Dexter Lumis. And the single best moment of the night happened when Candice is like, what the... And Johnny catches her before she can drop the F-bomb. Which is like, no, 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 let her go. Let her go. Just bleep it. It's fine.
So the end result is they're going to therapy.
The kids are grounded. The kids are so grounded.
It's great television.
I love this story so much. It's so great. And yes, for anybody wondering, Austin was running around in his little shorty shorts. He had different shorts this week. He had, like, ripped up black shorts, but
like,
he was still...
Like, it looked like he had the ripped up jeans that he cut to make shorts.
Probably, because I think that's what they did last week with the flamingo pants. I think they were just, like, cutoffs. But either way, he still had his vacation shorts on. No belly shirt this week. He had on an actual shirt.
Actual shirt. We had a nice video package on Wesley and Nash Carter at MSK. Then they got beat down by the Grizzled Young Vets.
Somebody's bitter.
Very bitter.
They're sore losers. How dare they?
We had some footage of Malcolm Bivens and Leon Ruff, and he was in the medical room, and they created...
That was creepy.
Bivens strikes when you least expect it. And he...
Like, but no! No, he was like bent over behind a counter or a table or something in a black hoodie, right? And as the medical person leaves and Leon Ruff's sitting there and he's like, yeah, I got cleared. All right, cool. Out of nowhere, when you least expect it, Malcolm Bivens just like stands up and throws the hoodie off and you're like, oh God, he's right there. Like, where did he come from? It was kind of scary. It's like he pulled a Dexter. He just appeared out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
I mean, it was good because he's basically trying to talk Leon Ruff into, you know, not into a match, I believe. But I like Malcolm Bivens. I like him with Tyler Rust. I like him in general. I like him as a manager. I hope they can find him like the right fit for him to be with someone.
So they were coming to the ring, they're ready for the match, and then Isaiah Scott attacked Leon Ruff because of everything that's going on, and then Malcolm Bivens held up Ruff's hand saying, hey, you won! Celebration.
I mean, a W is a W. Take it away anytime you can get it.
Zoe Stark was interviewed about her upcoming match with Io Shirai. She was very, very excited.
I felt so bad for her. Because, like, William was like, yeah, you did so good in your debut last week. I'm going to give you a women's title match. I'm like, what? Why would you do that to her?
Well, it was a non-title match.
I'm going to give you a match with Io Shirai. I'm like, why would you do that to her? That's just mean. Io's going to beat her up.
They had a pretty good match.
They did.
Wasn't going to be as long as it was, and it was actually pretty good despite the technical difficulties before the match started. That was weird.
Yeah, they had some issues.
Then Toni Storm came out, Io won, by the way, and she said Io's ducking her, and she kicked her head off, and Io didn't do anything about it. Storm said Sarai pinned Mercedes because she knew she couldn't beat Toni. Io's like, I'll fight you anytime, any place, and she's like, Storm says, you're scared, go to Regal, ask for the match. And she's like, prove me wrong, and Shirai was like, you're on. And we later found in 2 weeks that the match is going down.
Yes! Give me Toni Storm and Io Shirai and let my ovaries glow as a result. It'll be so good!
So, Xia Li took on Casey Catanzaro and whooped her ass. Broke her leg.
Kind of.
And then broke her leg, apparently. Don't know if it's legit or not. But she put a whooping on Casey.
Okay, I'm gonna be completely honest. I was slightly disappointed by this, but I'm going to tell you why.
Tell me what. Where? Anyway.
We can't play that either.
God damn it, so many good songs.
And we can't do any of them.
Damn it.
Cursed DMCA. But anyway, so like last week, Xia comes out, she marks Casey, and she's like, I'm going to purge you. Okay? In what capacity? Like, what is the purge level of capacity here? I mean, is it like you're just gonna like beat her up? Because I mean, purge is a pretty strong word. So, basing it off of that, I feel like, and this is purely based on the fact that Casey's leg is not actually broken.
We don't know. Some think it's real.
Some think it's real. There was one really nasty spot in the match where Xia basically, like, broke, in quotations, her leg. Like, you can actually see the spot where it probably happened. But
I think some people are speculating she may have come into the match with an injury, because that's why they said broken leg. So if they're going to put her out for a little bit of time.
Yeah, they're probably writing her off TV for a little bit of time to do something or heal something or whatever. But anyway, so assuming that she's not actually hurt, and this is totally based on if she's not actually hurt. If she's actually hurt, I understand why they did what they did. No foul. When you use language such as purge, though, I kind of expect like a Brock Lesnar level beating.
Yeah.
And I feel like we didn't get that here. And also, you kind of had Xia get pulled off by like the refs and by Casey's partner.
Mm-hmm.
And she backed up and she backed off. And it's like, no, girl, you go in there and you whoop her. I mean, she did a pretty good job on the whooping, but it's like your boss up there, I don't think she's happy with that. I think you gotta go back and do the thing. Because, like, this is the same group that, like, some other girl, they made Xia go back and, like, beat her up, like, 4 times.
Yeah.
Before the boss lady was satisfied. So, I don't know how I feel about this. Like, it was fine and the presentation was cool. You had a little bit of a production issue when you saw Boa and Xia walk out in the entrance, and they're supposed to just like appear out of magic, and they just walked out. But other than that, this was really fine. I'm still trying to figure out what Boa is there for.
He's just there.
He's the bodyguard because he protected his boss like a champ.
So we had the grizzled young veterans taking on Killian Dane and Drake Maverick before the match. Killian and Drake were coming out. Drake was wearing the shirt with the face on it, and Killian ripped it right off of him. And then we learned that the grizzled young veteran broke the hand of Wesley. So I don't think they're getting a title match next week. We'll see.
We'll see.
The grizzled young veteran got the win. Afterwards, we were in the back, and they were in Trainer's Wolf trainer's room, and Alexander Wolf showed up and looked at Killian and was like, "Who? What is this? You used to be a monster." Setting up something. So throughout the night...
No. We need to go back to that really quick, because Killian is carrying an injured Drake in his arms. Like, bridal carrying him.
Mm-hmm.
And back behind him, you see Imperium walk by, all four of them.
And that's where Alexander Wolf showed up, yeah.
Yeah. So all four of them were there. You got a hint that they were there.
Whether they were all actually there or not. We'll see.
So, but they did a nice little setup. Nice little tease.
So... throughout the night, we got shots of the Regal in the parking lot looking for Santos Escobar. He would eventually...
Oh, he was so mad.
He would eventually show up, and they would have a street fight, which started out in the parking lot. It was Santos Escobar against Karrion Kross, and these men battled everywhere you could possibly think. This was a full-out brawl. One point, Karrion threw two dudes through the plexiglass wall at ringside, like no other business. Karrion would get the win. It was a fun brawl.
This was a really, really good confrontation. I liked how they did it. I liked how they moved through the different spaces with it. Scarlett was a nice distraction because you had Scarlett come out and do the entrance for the live crowd. And meanwhile, Santos and Karrion are beating the crap out of each other in the parking lot. And then they very gradually work their way to ringside. Karrion chucking both of Santos's henchmen through plexiglass was like impressive as crap, because he just hucked them like a football. But yeah, I think this was really, really good. You had Santos get some really great shots in on Karrion, so it wasn't like this complete Karrion just like murdered somebody type situation.
No, it was like a 3-on-1, and he dealt with all three men.
Yeah. So in the end, Karrion was victorious, and he looked good doing it, but all three men aren't going to suffer because of Karrion, which is nice. It was a good, had really nice balance.
It was. LA Knight told us that he'll debut when he's ready to debut. Could be next week, could be in 3 months. Who knows?
I mean, technically he's already debuted, right?
I mean, I guess in-ring. Have an in-ring debut on TV. Be there live.
Okay. Because, I mean, you're doing videos for the show, so, I mean, technically you've already debuted, like,
but
they did your debut when you signed your contract,
but
dude.
But a formal introduction debut.
Where he's all fancy and shit?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
So this happened over the show. So Cameron Grimes was on the WWE Network on his phone, watching videos of the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase.
Yes!
He was watching the famous scene where a kid dribbled a basketball for cash, and where the plot of the video is Ted DiBiase kicks the ball away and the kid doesn't win any money and cries. So as he's watching this video, he's like, he gets this great idea, and he goes up to a backstage worker and goes like, "Hey, I want to give you the cash, and you then want to watch you, you know, if you can dribble this ball 10 times." And the guy does it, and Cameron's like, "Live it," because he forgot to watch the part of the video where you kick the ball. So he was mad for not watching the video. So that's number one. So now he's walking around in like a parking lot, and this happened earlier in the day, and he's very like, "All right, I watched the video, I know everything, I know how to do this." He walks up to three women, right? They're all sitting on the curb or something,
and one had a really strong lash game.
They did. So he challenged one of the women to dribble the ball, and the woman stood up, and they were taller than Cameron, and He was intimidated a little bit. He said, "I'll still pay you if you can. You still have to drill the ball 10 times. And then he goes and he tries to do it. And she dribbled the ball under her legs, and he whiffed his kick.
So she got the money.
She did get the money. And he's very pissed off that, "How did Ted DiBiase do this? God damn it, Ted DiBiase." He's cursing his name. So we're back at the PC parking lot, and he's so mad. And he finds a guy and goes, "I'll give you $1,000 if you can dribble the ball." And then as the guy starts to do it, he just punches the guy out. What made this segment then was he threw the money in the air.
And left.
He accomplished the challenge, but still spent the money.
there was a missed opportunity for the camera person or somebody else to, like, run up and grab the cash. Like, I want somebody to be following Cameron around because he's just literally throwing money everywhere. And so they're just, like, picking up all of Cameron's money until at some point they're like, yeah, so I've just been tailing you and I have more money than you. So what are you going to do about that? Because we all know where this is headed, is Cameron Grimes is eventually going to go broke. But
yeah.
Till we get there, it's just, this is so good. I love everything about this. It's like JBL. Like, it's almost exactly like JBL and Ted DiBiase, but it's a comedy gimmick. So it's just like, because he's just selling it. He's just absolutely selling it.
So Cameron Grimes is just awesomely entertaining. That's the best way to put it. He's awesomely entertaining.
Yeah, he is.
So
I still hate that I love him, but I love him.
Yeah, I know. Same. So Adam Cole comes out. He watched what happened, and he was very remorseful, and he said he wanted to explain his reasoning for why he attacked Kyle, but the video he just watched made him look sick. He didn't like the man he became come in the last few weeks due to him really wanting the NXT Championship. Everyone in the era knew that's what he wanted. He wanted to tell this to Kyle to his face, but he can't, and he can't because of himself, because of what he did. Kyle knows that when Adam hates him and he's wrong, and he's admitting he's wrong. He made a stupid mistake and he hates himself for it, and he apologized. He said he's going to do everything in his power to fix it. And Roddy Strong came out and he's like, what are you doing? You broke this all up. Undisputed Era was built on trust, love, and brotherhood, and you broke it up, man. You shattered the trust just like that. He said Cole needs to understand that Kyle's going to heal him. When Kyle heals, he can't save Cole from what Kyle's going to do to him. Out came Finn Balor, who just blatantly shoved Roderick Strong out of the way.
Finn wants his revenge, damn it. He will have it.
And he went right after Adam Cole, and Roddy got involved, and everything happened one way or another, and he eventually took out Finn with a super kick, and then Roddy hit him accidentally with a clothesline. He was very conflicted. Adam and Roddy were on their knees, and he's like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And Adam's starting to cry. You're my brother. They hugged. And low blow.
You're waiting for it. Like, you're sitting there and you're waiting for it because you know it's coming. It's not going to hurt any less, but you know it's coming. So when it does happen, when Adam Cole hits that low blow on Roddy and you just see Roddy's reaction, it felt almost exactly like when Seth smacked Roman with a chair. Like, it felt like even more so than it did last week with Kyle. It's like you just see that betrayal, because I think for all the ways that we saw Undisputed Era breaking up, we always saw Roddy, I think, turning on everybody, and that never really happened. So the fact that, you know, it's like Roddy's just trying to hold the team together. He's just trying to hold the group together. He's trying to be the peacemaker. He's like, Adam, don't do this. You don't need to do this. You know, just be careful because Kyle's pissed and he's coming for you, right? He's trying to be a good friend. He's trying to look out for his buddy on both sides of the fence, because he's trying to tell Kyle, don't go after Adam. He's emotional. You know, he's not in his right mind. He didn't mean it. You know, Roddy's just trying to be that friend, right? For everybody, where he's trying to play the middle. And then Adam Cole is just like, nope, fuck your shit. And he low blows him. And there's like zero remorse on his face. Zero. Adam's just looking at Roddy like, you stupid idiot. You knew this was coming, and I'm not sorry for it. Like, just the silent communication between the two after it happened. Because Adam's just looking at Roddy in the face like, you should have seen this coming. Was just great. It was just, this was so good. This is the perfect way to implode the group. And Bobby Fish is just sitting at home like, God damn it. You guys, what the hell? But yeah, so it seems Kyle's getting Roddy in the divorce.
Kyle's out 4 to 6 weeks. That takes you up to WrestleMania.
That's a perfect, appropriate amount of time to have him out, I think.
Yeah.
You know, you let the anger simmer. You let Adam and Finn settle their differences. And then you have Kyle come back. And you do Kyle and Adam at Mania. Whether it's for the title or not, we'll see.
Or a little after.
A little after. I'll take a little after.
Or cost it, or cost him the title of WrestleMania.
I mean, good.
Or that week, whatever.
No, they'll probably, if they do Adam Finn, they'll do it at Mania.
Speaking of WrestleMania, there was a stop on that road that we need to talk about.
There was.
So what, let's take a break and come back and talk about it.
All right, so when we come back, guys, we are going to be talking all about Elimination Chamber. So, you know, get you a snack, get you something to drink, because there are things we do need to discuss. So, till then, you've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Mondays. Once Monday Night Raw ends, join us for the Monday Night Raw post show.
Today I have something super serious to talk to you about.
Join us as we break down all the highs, the lows, and all the holy moments that go down every single Monday night.
Exercise!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Do I have your attention now?
Streaming live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, y'all, you want to get social with the Rack? Follow us on Instagram, instagram.com/RackRadioShow.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Event.
CB Radio. Saturday nights, midnight-ish Eastern, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
Hey guys, this is Colt Cabana of the Art of Wrestling podcast, but right now you're listening to the Rack Radio Show on the Wildcat Network.
Wild Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Hey guys, this is Colt Cabana from the Art of Wrestling podcast, but right now you're listening to the Rack Radio on the Wildcat Radio Network.
Wild Talk.
Motherfucker.
I don't know. I think we should keep it. I think it's funny.
Hey guys, this is Colt Cabana from the Art of Wrestling podcast, but right now you're listening to Rack Radio on Wild Talk Radio.
Perfect.
Wait, I'll do Rack Radio Show, sorry. All right, one more time. Hey guys, this is Colt Cabana from the Art of Wrestling podcast, but right now you're listening to the Rack Radio Show on Wild Talk Radio. Take four. I'm going to take four.
Now I don't feel so bad.
There you go.
And welcome back to the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can use it. It's that simple. And if you'd also like to follow the channel, you can hit that button too. But we're happy to have you any way you can get you. So if you just want to hang out and chat and have a good time, we're down with that. It's cool. And with that, we're going to do Tweet of the Week before they charge us for it.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place. And I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Twitter's been very quiet this week.
Except for announcing that they're going to charge people $5 for a subscription service. Twitter, what the hell?
Twitter was very quiet this week.
Yeah, people were not as active, but that's okay because I still have tweets.
And then tonight happened.
Yeah, and then tonight.
We're going to talk about it here in a minute.
Yeah. Courage JD. I'm confident that Tim the Tatman, Marcel, aka basically I do work, and I could sell 20,000 tasteful new calendars together. Let's do it. Nick Merckx. Listen, Poppy, I don't want to force it, but me and some warm apple pie for November. I'm just fucking saying, bro.
Yeah.
Courage. Huh?
You're.
I forgot that you've been bulking and are now thick. You're in. Marcel, I'm down Christmas. I don't want to know what he's going to do for Christmas.
It's going to involve mistletoe in anyway.
And a stocking. Holy cow underscore ink. The birth of a Canadian, and it is a dude emerging from a frozen lake with a hockey stick and ice skates and taking a shot of alcohol. John Layfield. So this is how our neighbors up north are created. Renee Young. It's a monumental day in our lives. You get to choose from Canadian Club, ice wine, or shotgunning a Molson Canadian. Adam Pierce. It's a picture of him with a microphone up to his face. Best caption wins something. Hashtag what did AP say? Baron Corbin. I wish my bald head was as perfect as King Corbin, but it's not, and I'm a big turd sniffer.
Wow.
Adam Pierce. I do periodically catching myself sniffing the monitor during your matches. Bless him. James Lately. If you ain't ready to be in Home Depot with me like this, leave me alone. And it's a couple in the red Adidas tracksuits.
Mm-hmm.
Lid goes, not me thinking this was Big E and Xavier Woods laughing my ass off. And Big E replies, I said, when the hell were we in a Home Depot to get... Oh, never mind. Tim. Darkness 429. Be careful when you spray in Tarkov. And it's a video of him spraying in Tarkov. Anthony Kongfan responds, excellent precision spray. Tim goes, thank you, Anthony. I'm really glad that you appreciated my shot. Unlike Genticles. Jen goes, oh, don't even.
Love their relationship so much. I kind of want the three of them to play together at some point.
Beth Phoenix. Indy Hartwell plus Dexter Loomis equals Index.
No, don't.
Make it a thing.
No.
Make it a thing.
No.
Magic word. This week, we're starting our interview series with our own Mrs. Dr. Lupo. Drop questions here that you'd want to ask from a growing up with limos and planes to managing being a mama. And being a mama. Also, we'll start early this week, so Just Serum can be part of the D&D event. See you Friday, Dr. Lupo. What's the most difficult part of being married to a child as well as having one at the same time?
Did you get her response?
I don't know if she responded
she
yet.
She did.
She's like adding to the list.
Yeah.
Oh no. Ryan Reynolds. I just signed 100 bottles of Aviation Gym for the Liquor Control Board of Ontario. We're a name for a person, but TBH, if that were my name, I'd drink that much too. Update. The bottles I signed in my last post were actually for BC liquor stores, not Ontario. Now signing 100 bottles for Ontario. Before you ask, no, Newfoundland, no. Yolanda Fillier. Why are you dissing Newfoundland? Do you have any idea how much of your gin I've drank in the last year? Homeschooling and teleworking is hard. Aviation Gin, help, a lot. Aviation Gin responds, we love you. Steven Spawn replies to Ryan Reynolds' post, that's your signature? I thought you were drawing a really hungry whale trying to eat some seagulls. Aviation Gin, can't unsee it. You can't. If you look at the picture, like if you see the picture, that's exactly what it looks like. It's insane. That's all I have.
WWE on Fox. What does Adam Cole have to say? Kathy Kelly, nothing makes sense since Kathy left.
I mean, it's true.
Denise Salcido, in the fifth grade, I read Hardy books because I thought it was going to be about the Hardy Boys.
Well, I mean, technically it is about some Hardy Boys. It's just not Matt and Jeff.
Tommy Dreamer, I mean, Impact Wrestling judicial system is flawed, but at the Tyre Valkyrie is in a solitary confinement. This Kira Nitro Impact Boone Morrison signed to a WWE NXT is clearly a clone. At WWE has the technology. I saw it with my evil refs. My science is less flawed than Steiner math.
What?
Exactly. Hangman Page, I just saw a ghost. Dr. Britt Baker at Adam Cole Pro. Can you grab us more Diet Dr. Pepper while you're out and about? Because in the AEW world, Adam Cole's a ghost. Because they killed him on an episode of Being the Elite. Nate Chat. Oh, Nate Chat. So Frosty tweets. GG Frosty. How many retweets on a tweet for you to get sexist temporary game is forever tatted on you? Nate Chat, 100,000. Frosty, bet. So Frosty photos that tweet, puts it up, goes, gamers assemble. And, well, let's just say they assembled.
They got a 200K in like an hour.
Under 2 hours. They got 200K. It's 157K at the moment. Get to why it's going up. Nate Chat, Why are you guys doing this? I thought you were my friends.
This is what friends do, dude.
Dr. Lupo, I assembled the gaming Twitter Avengers for this shit. Courage. Bro, forget Avengers Endgame. This is the greatest crossover of all time. 100,000 retweets in 2 hours, lol. Golden Boy, put it on your butt cheek. Problem solved. Action Jackson agreed. Imagine explaining that to your doctor when you get a colonoscopy. Then Nade Shot. Hold on, I need to go through this really quick. Hold on. So Dr. Lupo retweeted a thing and tagged his friends. Ninja, Courage, Tim Tapman. Ninja, handled. Zed, done my part. Sorry, Nade Shot. Valkyrie, say less. Cypher, PK, doing my part. Valkyrie, excited to see the upcoming vlog of your new tat, Matt.
So mean, but it's so good.
His girlfriend, his father retweeted it as well. So Nate Chat goes, well, if you get to 1,000,000 in 24 hours, I'll let him pick where it goes.
Why?
Tim Tapman.
Why would you do that?
Tim Tapman, bro, did you fully think this one through? Nate Chat, no. And Slasher goes, sex is temporary, gaming is forever. We'll look really nice in Comic Sans. On your left ass cheek. He got it in less than 2 hours to do 100,000 retweets.
By the way, y'all, go retweet the two tweets.
Yeah.
One
of them has 31,000 already.
Just to get it to 1,000,000. Just to get him to 1,000,000 on both, just to piss him off. Let's get it there. Go retweet it. If you hear this in the next 24 hours, which I don't know if everybody will, but if you're within the sounds of our voice and it's still Friday the 26th.
It's at Frosty on Twitter.
Yeah, at Frosty, at Nateshot on Twitter.
Yeah.
And with that, let us discuss the road to WrestleMania, because we hit another speed bump in Elimination Chamber.
This was the speed bump, not the fast lane, which is next month.
Yeah, we didn't hit the light speed lane. We hit the speed bump, because that's kind of what this show felt like.
It was sort of a speed bump. It was a solid, as a wrestling show, it was a solid show. Did it advance storylines? Yes. Did it miss the mark on advancing one storyline?
Yes.
Is that where you want to start?
Well, I kind of want to talk about it overall. I mean, this was definitely one of the more tamer chambers that I've ever seen, just because they weren't willing to take as many stupid risks in the chamber, simply because there's not a crowd to pop. So these were probably two of the more calmer chambers. But the show overall kind of left me feeling underwhelmed, and it was specifically for one particular storyline, but just kind of general, like, it was there and it was good and it was fine, but that's the nicest thing that I can say, was it was there. Like, you could, it almost kind of felt like they didn't really put, and when I say they, I mean the powers that be, didn't put any effort in the matches in between the two chambers for me. Like, they just kind of threw them in there, and it's like the fact that you didn't even have, like, Asuka on the show. You couldn't find a replacement for Asuka to face after Lacey got knocked up. Is like, wait, you can't find somebody for her to face really quick? Like, you don't have anybody on that roster that can just say, hey, you know, even have her go out and be like, hey, I'll have an open challenge, and anybody can come out and challenge me for the title, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you didn't even do that. So I feel like stuff like that, it's like, well, did you even really care? Because I don't want to say they didn't try, because they tried, obviously, but, like, it just, did you guys even really care? Or was just this just really a throwaway?
It felt like a throwaway, but at the same time, it didn't feel like a throwaway, because throughout this show, they hit some big moments and highlighted some big things on this show.
They did. And what was nice was that going into the two chamber matches, and even for the women, you didn't know where the Royal Rumble winners were headed. Like, normally that's already been announced and we know who's going where. So it's like the chamber matches, especially for specific shows, are pretty academic. You know who's going to win. You know who's moving on, because they're not going to change the title or they're not going to do anything with it before WrestleMania. That's generally how we operate with chambers. So the fact that you didn't know who Edge was going for, even though we all kind of knew, and we don't know who Bianca's going for because I don't think she's declared it yet, made the Bianca and Sasha's match really nice, and it made the chamber matches really nice, because it's like there's any possibility that Edge could go for Drew or Roman if he so feels like it.
So the show opened with the SmackDown chamber. You have the six men in the chamber, and let's flat out say Sami Zayn is the best.
Sami Zayn's antics in this match were just fantastic. I loved everything about it.
So, like, you had he had brought the camera crew out, and they were told they can't leave, and then he was so, so mad. And then later on at night, he finds out that was AJ had Omos out there. You threw my camera guys out, but you let AJ have him? What kind of injustice is that? But no, Sami was the best. So, like, when they did the whole thing with the countdown, it's like, not me, not me, please not me, please not me, please not me. And it's like, stay away from my pot, stay away from my pot. Like, his trash talk was amazing. And then didn't Kevin Owens come out first, I think?
Yeah, it was Kevin.
And then Sammy. So Sammy and Kevin are trash talking one another. He's like, Kevin says to Sammy, like, shut up so we can get Jey Uso out here. It was the best.
Sammy was
fucking awesome in this. Just his commentary of the match itself.
What was great about it, though, was like when he does finally get picked, like they're trying to get him out of the pod and he's like holding one side of the pod shut. And they had Jessica as his person like opening his pod and you just see her really super casually reach over to the other side of the pod and just pull the other door open.
Push it open, yeah.
Because, you know, Sammy doesn't realize that there's two doors and waiting for him on the other side is Cesaro. And then he's like, wait, no. And then he's trying to get the door open and she's kind of like, oh, it's stuck. I'm so sorry. I hate that for you.
I hate it here. This is no reaction. I hate it here.
It was so good. But yeah, I mean, this match was good. And this was obviously to determine who gets to face Roman Reigns later on in the night, which is like basically right after this.
Cesaro was the wrestling MVP of this match.
He looked fantastic. Your final two. You had Corbin get eliminated first. He was eliminated by Cesaro. You had Sammy get eliminated second. He was eliminated by Kevin, which was fitting. Kevin got eliminated by Jey
Uso.
Hold on.
Going back to Kevin and Sammy for a sec. Sammy's like, when Kevin got out of his pod, please, no, me and you, like old times, me and you, old times, we're going to fight together. And Kevin's like, sure. And then he starts chucking Sammy into a pot.
Like old times. Exactly like old times. That's what Kevin asked for.
Sammy asked for, yeah.
Or I'm sorry, Sammy asked for. So yeah, there you go. Your final three in this match were Cesaro, Jey Uso, and Daniel Bryan. Cesaro was eliminated by Jey Uso, so your final two were Daniel.
So it was Kevin. I think I talked over that. It was Kevin Owens was eliminated by Jey Uso. With the whole trapping of, was it the leg or the arm or something in the cage?
Yeah, which was really, really vicious. Like, they used basically the door after, I think Sammy got eliminated. Jey trapped Kevin in the door.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, basically beat up his arm with it. It was a really nasty looking spot, but it was a cool spot. So your final two are Jey and Daniel. And in an interesting pick, Daniel Bryan is your chamber winner. I mean, it's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing. It one says they don't see it as a big money match for WrestleMania, so they're going to blow it off here. And two, you didn't want to see Cesaro get buried by Roman because they would have looked really, really bad and stopped the progress. Someone like Daniel Bryan can absorb it and move on from it, which is what happened. Roman Reigns beat Daniel Bryan's ass. Daniel tried for a moment with the Yes Lock, but it was not to be. Roman beat his ass and got walked out victor with his title. So that was a whole setup. It was booked exactly how it should be. So stopping Cesaro's momentum would have been a bad thing because he looked really strong in the chamber. And they got Kevin out with the injury and then the pin by Uso. So Kevin wasn't losing again to Roman.
No.
So
I think this was fine. This was good. We then went directly into the Roman Reigns Daniel Bryan match. This was very, very quick. Roman just basically came out and slaughtered Daniel. It wasn't in the chamber, I think, like we all wanted it to be, but that's okay. Roman looked like a beast. And they can always go back to Daniel. Like, that's basically how you set it up, is Daniel's like, you took advantage of me because I've been in the chamber for like 32, 34 minutes. So over a half hour, I was weak, I was beat down, I was beat up. You didn't face me, you know, at full strength, essentially. Come fight me at full strength and let's see how you do. Basically challenge Roman at some point down the line. Not at Mania, I don't think, although...
No, because right after this, Roman Reigns got his ass speared.
By Edge.
And then Edge did the point. And Michael Cole freaked out.
We're all like, there it is! So you have Edge declare for Roman Reigns for WrestleMania. And we're all like, okay, alright, I see you. Okay. Thank you. We're good to go here. Also, we should note really quickly that they basically had to, in not a surprise, but a surprise, replace Keith Lee in the United States title match due to a supposed injury. And so they had a three-man on the pre-show to determine who goes into that match. It's John Morrison taking on Elias and Mustafa Ali with Retribution and Ricochet. I'm sorry, it was a four-man. And John Morrison defeated everybody to get the shot at the United States Championship.
Which we'll talk about in a second. But before we get there, Sonya Deville was talking to Bad Bunny about his impressive 24/7 title win. And if he never needed anything, just ask her. Miz got involved. He said, that's what he's doing here. Pointed to his 24/7 championship and then asked if Miz was a champion. Miz shoved Bad Bunny and then Bad Bunny slapped Miz right across the face. Before Miz could do anything about it, Damian Priest stood in front of Bad Bunny to protect his boy.
I love this pairing. It makes me so, so happy. Like, it's just the perfect little duo, and it has wonderful energy and a big brother, little brother sort of dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously not going to last because Bad Bunny's here only through WrestleMania, but still, I love what they're doing with it and how Damian Priest is just, you know, looking out for his friend, looking out for his buddy, making sure that nobody takes his title away from him, because I think Bad Bunny's having the time of his life.
He is.
As a 24/7 champion.
He is. So, as mentioned, it was the U.S. title match, Bobby Lashley, Riddle, and now John Morrison replacing Keith Lee. Bobby Lashley looked like a beast.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He really, really did. Like, they had him, he was aggressive, he was out there, he was in everybody's faces, he was beating them up, throwing them around. I mean, this was probably one of the best showings that we've seen of Lashley in a while. Like, they're definitely giving him and trying to give him a little bit of an edge that he hasn't had in a really long time.
Yeah, so then Morrison and Riddle threw everything they could at Lashley in this match. And then MVP and Morrison got into it, and Morrison got the crutch, and he tried to hit Lashley with it. He hit Lashley ducked, and, you know, he got put in the hurt lock. Riddle grabbed the crutch, hit Lashley with it a couple times. That sent Lashley to the outside. And then Riddle hit the Bro Derek, and got the win and won the U.S. title without pinning Bobby Lashley.
And Bobby Lashley gets in the ring. He's enraged. He's throwing things, and Matt Riddle gets away scot-free with the title.
Hi. We're live. Hi, Adrian. We're live.
We're live. Yeah,
hi.
We're actually live. We're doing this like right now.
Live. Anyway, so Riddle is your U.S. champion. Smart move. Getting it off of Bobby Lashley without actually pinning Lashley. And as we saw, Lashley was dominant. And we talked about it last week where this was headed. And we'll talk about it.
You put that out on the universe, by the way.
I know I did. Talk more about it.
This is your fault.
We'll talk about more in a minute. What's next?
Up next, you have the women's tag team title match basically on the line, or the women's tag team titles on the line, however you say that. I don't know. It's late. Anyway, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler take on Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks. And this was a good showing for the champs. This was a great showing for Bianca and Sasha. They worked well together till, Reginald kind of played a factor in this one. He's been with the ladies. He's been supporting them. They had a little trio going on, and Reginald told Sasha, like, oh, you're going to win. I'm going to break out my best bottle of champagne for you, and we're going to have a good time afterwards. And Sasha's like, yeah, okay, cool. And so, you know, Reginald comes out with his bottle of champagne mid-match and throws it to Sasha, and he's like, smack her with it and you'll win the title. And well, in the end, that cost Sasha and Bianca, because the distraction was enough that Nia and Shayna capitalized, and they won.
They did.
So they move on to face the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic Champions, the female edition, here next week on NXT.
So your main event was for the WWE Championship. Drew McIntyre, Sheamus, AJ Styles, Randy Orton, Kofi Kingston, and Jeff Hardy in the chamber. Randy Orton, and Jeff Hardy were the first two people. Kofi came in third. Kofi pinned Randy.
Nothing happened.
I'm going to sit back for a minute. She's just going to go off for a minute.
So, prior to the show last week on Raw, you had Alexa Bliss perform a ritual of sorts, which in theory brought the Fiend back from the dead. That's what everybody believes it to mean, is that she resurrected Bray Wyatt in some capacity, which means he's on his way back. He's making his return. He's done evolving or cooking, and he's going to bust out of the cocoon, and he's going to be whatever he's going to be next. They've done a really good job up until this point of teasing it and of slowly building it. You've had Alexa and Randy really carrying the feud, Alexa messing with Randy, sort of, you know, reminding him the Fiend's always looking over his shoulder, you know, she's been haunting him. It's really, really good. Like, they had a nice setup for everything on Raw, and I think a lot of people, including me, walked into this show with the expectation that something was going to happen with the Fiend, whether it was he was going to show up, whether we were getting another haunting, something. Right, we were expecting something to happen because Randy's in the chamber, and it's really a prime opportunity for the Fiend or Alexa to go after Randy. What happens? Randy Orton walks out for this match, gets in the match, he's in the match for 8 minutes, gets pinned, leaves, and nothing happens. Nothing. There's not, like, any kind of little laugh from Alexa when he loses. There's not a laugh from the Fiend when he loses. There's nothing on the screens. There's no eerie ambiance. There's no nothing. It's just Randy Orton just straight up loses and leaves. And it's like, wait, what? What? I'm sorry? Excuse me? Where's the storyline advancement on this? Like, I understand they're trying to slow build this, but it's like, you had Alexa Bliss perform a ritual on Raw to resurrect the Fiend, right? Like, you would think more haunting would follow. And to their credit, they did follow it up on Monday Night Raw after Chamber, where you had Randy ooze the black stuff in his promo, thanks to Alexa. But like, and he's basically like, I lost because Alexa Bliss is in my head. Okay, why didn't you like have Alexa Bliss costume, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it didn't make a lot of sense. I know a lot of people were disappointed by this, myself included, and I know it was stupid to get our hopes up, but I think people were expecting something, because we don't know what's coming with this. You don't know what Bray's gonna do, you don't know what Alexa's gonna do. He's not gonna come back as the same Fiend. It might be similar, but he's gonna change something about it. He's gonna refresh it, because he's been doing it for over a year at this point, so it needs a bit of a change. And he's gonna take it to whatever the next part of it is, and we're all really excited to see it. The question is when is he going to show up? Some people are getting a little tired of waiting, myself included, because it's like, when are you going to put him on TV? When is he coming back? And that's good, because people are excited for him. They're anticipating him. But at the same time, it's like, this just felt meh, because it's like, are they really going to end this pay-per-view with Drew McIntyre standing tall with the title after, you know, after the Chamber match is over? Is that how we're ending this pay-per-view? Because if so, why? I mean, no offense to Drew, but it's like, that's just, it's like, nothing happened in the Roman match. That title didn't change. The tag titles didn't change. The only one that changed was the US title. And that just makes it feel so lackluster in that instance, if you do nothing to have like a really big finish, especially since the Chamber matches were more contained. They were much safer. You didn't have people doing anything necessarily stupid to pop the crowd. You did have your stupid moments, but it's not like it was in the past. People like fleeing themselves off the top of pods or anything.
Yeah.
So, and nothing happened after the match with Randy. He got pinned and he left. Kofi got eliminated by Sheamus, who had a solid showing in this match.
Oh, we should talk about AJ, how he, you know, got into the chamber before he was supposed to be in the chamber, because almost pulled off the pod glass so he can get in.
And then Sheamus was just trapped in his pod, like he was the last one in, and he's just standing there like, God damn it, I want out of here. I want to get to Drew. I want to get to the title. Like, I want to win. But yeah, AJ like basically passes Randy Orton on the way in, and he's like, okay, I'm going, bye. So Jeff Hardy got eliminated by Drew McIntyre. Sheamus got eliminated by AJ Styles, and then in a rather quick pinfall, Drew McIntyre took out AJ Styles to retain his title. And we have Drew McIntyre standing tall in the chamber, and they're raising the chamber, and it's, wait, is that it? Is that in the end of the show? Oh no.
So it was not over. So earlier in the night, there was a little before this match started, Miz was seen talking with MVP. Continue.
So Miz made a deal with the devil, and Bobby Lashley came out and beat up Drew McIntyre and left him laying, to the point that Drew really couldn't defend himself. And Miz brought out his briefcase. Miz cashed in his briefcase. And two skull-crushing finales later, your brand new, well-deserved WWE champion, The Miz, defeats Drew McIntyre for the title. And you see Miz standing tall at the end of the show. I was fine with this.
I loved it.
Not that it matters. I mean, I thought this was a good way to end the show, especially after the Chamber match, where it's just like, really? You're going to end with Drew just winning? That's it? Like, there's no oomph moment?
So we talked about how Miz possibly would be one of the first to not cash in. Well, he decided to cash in on it. He told us basically what he would do on Monday, that he was going to do it, and goddamn it, he did it. He went out there, cashed in, became champion, sold his soul to the devil. He's going to have to pay the devil this Monday night on Raw.
Yeah, you got to pay up Monday. But I mean, this was a good way to use the Money in the Bank. No offense to Otis. No offense to the way that they handled everything. But Miz just adds that credibility to the Money in the Bank that it desperately needs. And he also did it from a very psychological standpoint, where he planned his attack. He knew Drew was going to go into the chamber. He knew Drew was going to get beat up. But there was a chance that Drew was going to be okay. So you know what? Let's get that little insurance policy in Bobby Lashley, and let's go from there. And that's exactly what he did. And it was a really, really clever way to change the title. Not that it was like, you know, especially like crazy or anything, but it's just Miz being Miz and being smart about it and being sneaky about it and not necessarily just calling his shot, even though he kind of did. It's like, nope, I'm going to be not the ultimate opportunist, but pretty damn close to it, and take advantage of what resources I do have to get the best outcome possible. So this was good. I like this. Like I said, this was not the most overwhelming pay-per-view for me. This wasn't like, oh my God, this was so amazing. This was so awesome. It was just a show for me. It was just kind of there.
It was a show that was kind of there, but it had enough storyline elements that it made sense. We made the match for the main event of WrestleMania. We said continue the Miz and Bad Bunny stuff. Miz is now in the title picture for a little bit. We've now positioned Bobby Lashley as a top contender. We've also now seen where Bianca started like looking, eyeing up Sasha for her title for WrestleMania. So we had...
Do it, Bianca. Do it.
We had storyline advancement, which is what you need on a show where you're not thinking there was going to be much, and there was plenty of storyline advancement coming out of it. That's the biggest thing you could take away from the show. Was the wrestling out of this world? No, it was very solid. It did its job, but the storyline advancement worked for the show. Overall, Wheel of Fun went 0-4. 8-Ball went 3-1. You went 3-2. I went 4-1.
Ew. I will say you can definitely tell that they're taking their time with the WrestleMania build this year because they don't have that rush of what they normally do after Chamber. So they're taking their time. They're doing a very slow build to Mania because they still have about 2 months to go on it. So I really, really like that they're taking their time. They're leaving us guessing. We don't necessarily know all of the plan yet, but we know some of the plan. And we can start to see Mania unfold with who's challenging Roman, who's challenging potentially Sasha or Asuka, who's challenging, you know, Miz. Well, now Miz, but it could be Drew, it could be Bobby, it could be anybody by the time we get to Mania in terms of Raw. So I really like that. It's like we kind of see the plan, but we don't know the plan. And they're taking their time with it. So thank you for that. Because I hate years where we go into Mania and it's like we know the entire plan before Rumble. I hate that. It's like I like being surprised. I like guessing. I like having conversations about it and trying to figure it out. Because it's like, is this what they're actually doing? Are they actually going to do that? Wouldn't that be cool if they did it like that?
Indeed.
So good job, WWE. And with that, I think we're done.
We are done. Programming no Fortnite with friends tonight.
It's late. I got to work tomorrow, so we will not be playing Fortnite with friends. But tune in Saturday because we'll be doing it then, right?
We're doing it Saturday nights, as always. We'll be doing Fortnite with friends. Following that, we'll be seeing Red Alive midnight-ish. We're working on stuff for Saturday. We're working on it. See what happens. But it'll be a celebratory show Saturday night. Midnight-ish. See RealLive.com, greater than GreatDebate.com. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio tries to fix Raw, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night, it's a Raw post-show, live, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back live next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, and we'll have a discussion. NXT and the news, all you can handle. It's The Rack, live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's at Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. At Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com says Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. And you can support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use creator code RockSock in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag Epic Parter. There's alien skin in the game. Sigourney Weaver's in the game.
It's weird. Oh. Anyway, you can follow me on most of... Oh, wait.
You're
not done.
You're good.
Okay. All right. You can follow me on most of social medias at Lens Ward, LNSWRD. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we will see you all next week. Till then, bye.